Hi there, I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is.
Thank you for joining me today as we continue to discover who God is. Ending the work week with one another, some of you listening by radio, and others of you on the podcast. Wherever you are and by however you listen, welcome. As you know, if you've been with us, we are using the analogy of being out for a night at the stage theater. And what's playing? Well, it's the Book of Job. And our programs tell us this is a three-act play. We've already covered Act 1, and last time we were drawn into Act 2 and had a quick discussion of Scene 1. See? I told you we would not linger in this act. At times we will slow down and talk about certain chapters in more detail, and at times we will speed up, talking about other chapters in less detail. So from our seats, we see the curtain open on Act 2, Scene 2. Here, Eliphaz speaks and Job responds. This is in Job chapters 4 through 7. And let me remind you of what I said about this man Eliphaz in our introduction some time ago. Eliphaz points to experience in making his case that the reason Job suffers is because Job has secret sin in his life. He speaks like a know-it-all theologian would. His name means either God dispenses judgment or God is gold. And now here he is at chapters 4 and 5. He will speak in chapters 4 and 5, and Job will respond to him in chapters 6 and 7. Eliphaz is the first of three men who really are intelligent gentlemen. And they, along with Job, enjoy argument, debate. We can call it mental gymnastics. So enter Eliphaz, who tries to use his brain and oratorical skills to make a point to Job, a theme throughout from all these friends, that Job must have secret sin in his life. Otherwise, God would not make him suffer like this. Listen to how Eliphaz in Job 4, verses 7 through 8 speaks. Remember now, whoever perished being innocent, or where were the upright destroyed? According to what I have seen, those who plow iniquity and those who sow trouble harvest it. Job 4, 7 and 8. You cannot be innocent, Job. You must have sin. This will not be the last time we hear Job being accused of this by one of his friends. Mark this down. A recurring theme in Job chapters 3 to 31 is the accusation that Job has secret sin somewhere in his life. Otherwise, God would not have caused this suffering to happen to him. The big problem with this is that we, the audience, already know this is not true. What has happened to Job thus far is not because of some specific sin in Job's life, but rather because God has given Satan permission to come against Job. Eliphaz takes the stage to speak to our friend Job. And this man Eliphaz is quite the actor. I mean, he can really act. He's a made-for-Broadway kind of talent. Listen to how he builds up to one of his points. I'm reading now Job chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. Eliphaz speaks, "Now a word was brought to me stealthily, and my ear received a whisper of it. Amid disquieting thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falls on man, dread came upon me and trembling and made all my bones shake." Ooh, visions in the night, whispers, dread, trembling, my bones were shaking, Job. This guy can really draw the audience in. He really knows how to make it sound that his advice is going to be something profound, even remarkable. But then we get his supposed wisdom in verse 17. This is Job chapter 4, verse 17. Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure before his maker? Job 4, 17. The words of Eliphaz in the form of a question are a dud. It lands with a thud. That's it? All that buildup and we get what is obvious? Of course, man and woman cannot be justified before God. Of course we are not pure before holy God. Even ungodly people know that. God is perfect. We are all imperfect. Eliphaz is just telling Job something that Job already knows. He tells us something we already know. But he tells it in a very dramatic way. Maybe he will win Best Actor in the end. I want to make one other observation of all that Eliphaz says in chapters 4 and 5, and I observe this because this will also emerge as a theme in these chapters. Job's friends tell him things that are definitely true. They just do not apply to Job's specific situation, to Job's set of circumstances. The friends make true statements, but then wrongly apply them to Job. Let's watch and listen as Eliphaz tells Job two things that are true, but do not apply right now to Job. The first is in chapter 5, verse 7, a verse you may know because it is a popular verse in the Bible. I'm reading Job chapter 5, verse 7. For man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. That is very true. We all have trouble. You have it, and I have it. We may not have the same kind of trouble, but there is no human who does not have trouble. One of the Hebrew words for man actually means the miserable. How about that? One of the Hebrew words for man actually means the miserable. This statement of Eliphaz is true, but watch in a moment how he applies it to Job. Listen first to Job chapter 5, verse 17, and if you have your Bible there with you, read this verse with me. Behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. That was Job 5, 17. Job 5, 17. Again, this is correct, totally true. But Eliphaz takes Job 5, verse 7, for a man is born for trouble as sparks fly upward. And he takes Job 5, verse 17, behold, how happy is the man whom God reproves, so do not despise the discipline of the Almighty. And he applies this to Job's suffering, meaning, hey Job, the reason you suffer like this is because God is giving you trouble to discipline you. You've sinned. You need discipline, and now you are getting it. But we in the audience know the problem with the approach that Eliphaz takes here. God is not disciplining Job. Job's friends tell him things that are definitely true, they just do not apply to Job's specific situation. Job is suffering at the hands of Satan, not God. Now here I want to be clear. It is always possible that we have trouble and suffering in our lives because God is disciplining us. As Christians, when we have a sinful lifestyle, when we continue to live by the lusts of our flesh, God will discipline us, as I said earlier this week. Listen to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. I just have time for this one verse. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. And he scourges every son whom he receives. That actually comes from Proverbs 3, verse 12. Hebrews 12, 6, Proverbs 3, verse 12. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines. Eliphaz was right, and he might be right about the trouble or the suffering that you and I have. Maybe it is because we are under the discipline of our loving Heavenly Father. Again, sometimes Christians suffer because God is using the suffering to discipline us and to draw us back to Him. That is always a possibility. I hope that you are with me on this. Well, let's follow the action on the stage by seeing Job's response to Eliphaz in Job chapters 6 and 7. And when we read these chapters, we clearly see that Eliphaz has been no help whatsoever. Look at and listen to Job chapter 6 and verse 15. My brothers have acted deceitfully like a wadi, like the torrents of wadis which vanish. That was Job 6, verse 15. A wadi is like a water brook, a river, if you will. And imagine that you are out there on the desert with Job, and you're dry and thirsty, and you look off in the distance and you see your friends coming, and you think, ah, some refreshment. They will water me with their compassionate wisdom. But that was just a mirage, an optical illusion caused by atmospheric conditions. The compassionate wisdom of a friend never shows up. As we will see, none of them bring hope. Their advice was meaningless. This is Job's response to Eliphaz, also in a dramatic scene before us. This scene includes a mirage in the desert of hopelessness. Doesn't this make you kind of question advice you have given to friends who are suffering? When you go over to a friend's home to comfort them in their pain or sorrow or turmoil, and you open your mouth and start talking, are you so sure that you're helping? I am never so sure that I am, and being pastoral, I do love to give advice, encouragement, what I think of as wisdom. But sometimes I am hurting more than I am helping. It would be wiser if I still visited, but sat there silent with my hurting friend. It would be wiser if I said nothing. I'll tell you what, I have more insights from Job's response to Eliphaz to share with you, but we are bumping up against our time limit again for the week. So this weekend, read Job chapters 4 through 7, and then press ahead and read Job chapters 8 through 10 as well. I have invited you to read all of the book of Job as we watch it unfold together here in this theater. Read in Job chapters 4 through 10 and see what insights you have. Take a few minutes to check out the brand new God Is website this weekend. In your web browser, punch in godisministry.org. That's godisministry.org. Once there, you have access to all the podcasts, and you can click subscribe to podcasts on the bottom left corner of the homepage to get God Is on iTunes, Google Play, and Pocket Casts. Plus, be sure and click the icons for Facebook and Instagram. Follow us and like our pages. Tell others about them. If you'd like to contact me, hit the link marked Contact. The email is mark@godisministry.org, or you can send a letter to me, God Is, P.O. Box 802, Winchester, Massachusetts, 01890. And then join me again on Monday for God Is.
Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others and be sure and join me for the next one.